If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 138. And I want to look at a song of David this morning. This has been on my mind for some weeks now. Psalm 138. Here's what David sings. This is a song of David, you understand. A psalm is a song. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Now mark this. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud, he knoweth afar off. In other words, the proud, he knows the proud, but he's not anywhere near them. He knows where they are. And that's all. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Another marker. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Amen. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thy hand. I could stop right there and that'd be worth coming for.
Sir.
You look at the expressions of will. Philip and Jessica attended a church near Charlotte last Sunday, and I trust they're there again this Sunday. I may wait till tomorrow to call them to find out, but the pastor's name is Ralph Dale, and they have a small church, a small group, but have a reasonably good-sized church. Philip said about half as big as Mabscott Auditorium used to be. Anyway, Philip went with much fear and trembling. He's not very adventuresome when it comes to church services. He got stuck a couple of places down around Bastion, Virginia, and that scared the life out of him. But they went, and he said, Grandpa, it was like coming home. And that's a good report. That's a good report. But he said this, he said, Pastor Dale said, you know, he said, the Bible is full of wills and shalls. I will, and thou shalt. And he said, I like that thou shalt. I like that. But, you know, not many people deal with the thou shalts anymore. So, you look at this expression, I will, and these words are words of the intent of the heart. This is something I may be doing it, I'm going to do it some more. I will praise thee with my whole heart. This is purpose and desire. And you know, I like to get and talk to people about their purpose and their desire. Why do you want to do this? Why do you come to church? Why do I stand here and try to preach? Why? intent and desire. Get the answers to those questions. Purpose. This is the expression of David's purpose and of his desire to praise the Lord with his whole heart. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise. Will I sing praise unto thee? You know, well, let me look at this in Psalm 96 and verse 4. We read these words, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods," little g, "for all of the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." I wish there was some way that an old preacher like myself could emblazon that into the minds of young people. That all of the gods of the nations are idols.
Amen.
All of them.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't matter which one you choose. And almost anything has become a god in the day in which we live. Not since the days of the Roman arena has there ever been this mad preoccupation with sports of all kinds and with some kind of competition. We say, what's wrong with that, Earl? I don't guess there's anything wrong with it if it doesn't occupy your whole life. Fishing's fine, Roy, but bless Pat, I wouldn't want to do it every day and every day and every day from dawn till dark. Now, that might seem to be great, but you'd soon get tired of it. You'd soon get tired of it. But I see in these expressions some expression of defiance that David's doing here. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. He's throwing it back in her teeth. Right in the face of the heathen, I'll praise God.
Yes, sir.
David is surrounded by false gods. The false gods of the heathen. By idolatry. And he throws his praise to the God of heaven right straight in their teeth. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Now, David, Walter, I think, mentioned something this morning. David was often in hard places, sometimes of his own doing. And Walter was not saying that you will not reap the results of circumstances. That's not what he was saying this morning. Not at all. But David has been in some hard places. And he was often under the rod of God's chastisement. And he was not always a king. And God took him from following the sheep of his daddy's flock. And Samuel anointed him king over Israel while Saul still lived.
Yes, sir.
Afterward, he spent that desolate time. You can read it in 1 and 2 Samuel. He spent that desolate time running from Saul in fear of his life, hiding in caves, running over to the Philistines and even begging shelter from them, scratching on doors with a spit running down his chin and stuff like that, feigning madness. Oh, David had been through some hard places. Time and time and again, David the king went down in defeat. He experienced fear.
Sir.
He was brought down by lust and murder. But always, always, he turned his face and his heart and his soul back toward God.
Amen.
Back toward the God of heaven. Always. Often, when his soul was sick, he reached out in just blindly, he reached out to God. You know, for many people, there comes a time in their experience with Christ where there is not much assurance. There's it seems like there's not much fresh knowledge that comes, that there's not much encouragement, and that the heavens just seem like brass. You can read the book, and yet there's not much of a message that you get from it. Well, that's not the book's fault. But that's the condition that we find ourselves in at times. At least some of us. And so that every step that we take in our life and in our living has to be a step in the dark, taken in faith. You see, this cocky, self-confident attitude of the world around us that doesn't belong to God's people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make it work.
Yeah.
Well, if God wills.
Amen.
If God wills. But through war and famine. Yeah, famine. David experienced famine.
Yes, sir.
And failure of all kinds. God brought David to his last hours.
Yes, sir.
I think I'll just turn to that. I want you to see it. Look at 2 Samuel 23. God brought David down, this man who'd been through tremendous highs and awful lows. Awful, terrible low. When his son had rebelled against him, and Joab drew an arrow and he smote him in the joints of the harness, killed him as dead as a hammer. His wife ridiculed him, and we could go down the line, but the time won't permit that. Listen to, now these. These be the last words of David. David has come down to die, as all men do. You and me, young and old, infant and adult, come down to die. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Think of that. David said, in spite of all this, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his spirit was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Listen to this. This ought to give you goose flesh. Must be just, ruling in the fear of God, and he shall be as the light of the morning. Who? Well, let's see. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although by my house Be not so with God. You know what David was speaking there in verse 4? He was speaking as a prophet. He speaks of Christ. Even then, and he said, though my house, I got to be careful or I'll do like Walter, I'll get way off. He did that a couple of times. But I want you to turn your attention to verse 5 completely. Although my house, that is my family, my life, my posterity, what men observe, what men see, and how they evaluate me. Though my house be not so with God, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Hey, somebody says you can only believe what you see. Baloney. That's baloney. David said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of God. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. Don't fall for the plums of this world that are rotten at the pit. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure.
Amen.
Sure. For this is all my salvation, and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. In other words, I don't see it yet. But this is it. I don't see it, but this is it.
Yes, sir.
What a tremendous statement. This old king on his deathbed. I've got to I don't know how far I'm going to get this morning. I got to go to something else. In Isaiah 42, hear these words. And these words just sing. They make almost a song. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. That's Christ.
Yes, sir.
He shall not cry out, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment and truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment upon the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. We've been talking about that for 6 or 7 weeks.
Yes, sir.
Thus saith the Lord, the God, the Lord, that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that hath spread forth the earth that cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. That's Christ.
Amen.
That's Christ. To whom does this covenant come? To whom does this person come? Well, verse 7 tells me that he comes to open the eyes of the blind. So he comes to the blind. And then to bring out the prisoners, that is, he comes to them that are bound. And them that sit in darkness, that are spiritually blind and darkened in their soul and in their mind, they're darkened. Listen to another prayer of David over in Psalm 86 and verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. You know what we get today? I'll take a minute to do this. You know what we get today? Oh, I can do this. Oh, this is a snap. I can do it. We'd like for people around us to believe that we've never been afraid. That nothing scares us. And we're lying to ourselves at the same time doing it to everybody else. You know why you've got the aggression that you've got in the world today? Do you know why? Let me wax philosophical here for a minute. We've got the aggression that we've got in communities and in the world today because the people that are aggressive are afraid.
Yes, sir.
Somebody going to find out that they ain't what they appear to be. And fear rules. Now, this thing of coming to this place where we recognize our need is vital. Do you know, Walter, I was thinking this morning, do you know that spiritual, I know you know this, but spiritual growth is based on a sense of need. If you don't feel that you need it, you're not going to grow. You know, if I've reached the acme of education, all the reading in the world won't help my mind. If I say, well, I know everything already. If there's nothing new. Oh, I've been there. I knew that. But that's the attitude of you. People today will tell me, somebody from X church down the road here, or over the hill, or wherever. I'm not pointing anybody out. They say, oh, I've been a Christian all my life. Is that right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know all that doctrine. I know it all, been taught, been in Sunday school, I got pins that'll reach clear down to the first button on my suit coat. Well, that's not a sense of poverty, is it? That's not a sense of need. I have to stand needy before God to get anything. And I wonder, have you been there spiritually? And if you can say, yeah, I have. I'm there now. Well, then there's hope. There's hope. For, according to Psalm 113, verses 7 and 8, you read these words. He raiseth the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. Well, you know what a dunghill is. It's a manure pile. Well, I'm gonna, you know, I'm not that down. Oh, yeah. I'm willing to take my place on a dunghill if the Lord promises to lift me up, I'll tell you that. You know, there's one thing that God hates. Well, there's several, but there's one thing that I want to mention. He hates a proud look. He hates a proud look. That's what it says. And boy, listen, I'll take my place on that manure heap that he might set him with princes, even the princes of his people. It is God that does the finding. It is God that does the lifting. You know, we're so confused in all religion today. So confused. In fact, you've got preachers turning goats into sheep. Sure. But that lost sheep that was found was born a sheep. And the shepherd found him. He wasn't born a goat. And through some hocus pocus of a message, the preacher made him a sheep. No, it didn't come like that. But I have to hurry. Now the great theme of this psalm is found in verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Are you concerned about your life? That never stops. I mean, I can turn back into Ephesians and into Colossians and into 1st and 2nd Timothy and into 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and the whole nine yards, and I can read you instructions that will turn your blood cold when compared to our lives. How am I ever going to reach that standard? What's going to happen? Well, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me.
Amen.
I said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me.
Amen.
And when David prays, forsake not the work of thy hands, he's talking about his spiritual work, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and God will not forsake that workmanship.
Amen.
He's going to perfect whatever's wrong.
Amen.
Well, I don't know. I hope that's true. I know it's true. I know it's true. Paul said, being confident of this very thing,
yes,
that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God began it. He will perform it.
Yes, sir.
There are a great many people that put a great deal of emphasis on church discipline, you know. You got to do things just so, or else you're out of here. I can't find that either, Walter. I can't find that. I find one situation, but that's another case entirely. Paul had one goal in his life. Listen to these words found in Philippians 3 in verses 10 and 14. That I may know him.
Amen.
That I may know him. That I may know Christ.
Yes.
That I may know him like I know some of you.
That's it.
That I might fellowship with him like I fellowship with you.
Yes, sir.
That I might know that he hears me as I know that you hear me. You see what I'm saying? That I may know him. He's not a doctrine. He's not a religion. He's a person.
Amen.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What is that? That's the power of new life.
Yes.
I said that wrong, didn't I? That resurrection power is the power of life, not new life.
That's right.
It's the power of life coming in, invading the arena of death and giving life to the dead alien sinner by God's will. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. We don't want that. We'll do everything in the world we can to get comfortable, huh? Well, oughtn't we do that? Oh, I'm not being critical about being reasonably comfortable. You know that. But we don't want suffering. We don't want suffering. And yet Paul says, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. You want to be rejected as he was rejected? Or don't you really care? I don't care. I don't care. I told the pastor down at Charlotte the other day on the telephone. I don't care. I will not be sold a bill of goods that has the tag of the Amalekites on it. I won't do it. God helping me. Paul said, being made conformable unto his death. What does that mean? It means to be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What, are we at that place? Am I at that place where Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me?
Amen.
Then he said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. That's a central vision, centralized sight. one goal in mind. Gotta quit. Question. And I ask myself this question as well as you. I said, well, Earl, you've been in this a long time. Yeah, sure. And the question still comes, am I running that race? I trust I am. I hope I am. And there are times that I even believe I am. But am I fighting that battle? Then here is our goal. Here is our goal. As we read in Ephesians 2 and verse 1 through 5, Paul said, if there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let. Oh, I like that word. Let. That means allow.
Yeah.
As used here. Let. It's not a case of working something up or pulling something down. It's allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
What's that? What is that mind? All right. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery, thought it not a thing to be grasped after, did not think it was a thing to be competed for, to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the mind that the Spirit of God says his people are to have. To realize our need is to engage in the battle. To come to that place where I know that I am I have no ability to perform what I'm commanded to perform.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't get drunk, and I don't go out here as a profligate in the community. No, of course not. I don't have the wind blow my corn down and cuss a blue streak. No, I don't do that. But I'm talking about laying hold of Christ in the simple things.
Yes, sir.
Something that occupies my mind day in and day out. That's the battle. The need to know him. The warfare is not with others. Let me tell you, the warfare is within ourselves.
Yeah.
John the Baptist said of this, of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his Lord, and we must say it of ours. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. Not my will, but thine be done. Then can it be said. Then only can it be said. Thou wilt perfect that which concerneth me. When I am in submission to the will and the purpose of God, in no matter what that day may bring. Well, Earl, you just can't live like that. I mean, everybody gripes and complains. Boy, don't I know it. I've done my share. I'm not silent about hurting. I let you know it. Some people don't. But I'm talking about every day. Every day. I can't perfect anything. Listen to Paul's words. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. If you believe him, then you're relying on the potter to mold you. The potter molding the clay according to his will. For, I quote it again, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you something. Will you not only quit trying to have your own will, but even quit trying to think about your own will?
That's it.
Or your own way? Just quit trying to run your own life. Quit trying to attain some kind of status where you're the winner from men or man or women or whatever, but seek the honor which comes from God. The word, Betsy, the word is yield. If you're in him, he's taking you down a certain path.
Yes, sir.
That's sometimes an old silly gospel song they used to sing, it's not an easy road Jesus calls us to follow. And sometimes it isn't.
That's right. Right.
The word is yield. If you're in him, he's taking you down that path. And if you don't believe that, you just don't know him. That's right. That's right. You just don't know him. Not yet. Not yet. Our Father, we're grateful again this morning for your blessing and the help that you give us from day to day. The fact that when we are weak, you may give strength that we don't even see or know. We pray that we might be enabled to understand what it means to have him perfect that concerning us, knowing that in the final hours we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's his work, not ours, and we thank you for that and praise your name for a salvation that's free and for a Lord that is above all the gods of the earth. In his name, amen.